So the new record, and I will let you pronounce it, it will be released in 2 months.
Yeah.
Right now, you personally or the band, what's your feelings regarding this new adventure?
Yeah, the new album is called Jom's Vikings. And my feeling about it is, I think it feels like it's the best album we have made. And when I hear reactions from people, they seem to like it more than anything we've done before as well. So we have really good feeling about it.
Is that the kind of reaction you can anticipate? You know when releasing an album, if it will be tough to dive into it, or you know if it will be direct, and this one, all the songs are short, fast, direct songs. Now with the experience, I suppose you can anticipate what would be the reaction.
Yeah, but this album also has a different level, because it's a concept album. So you can see it as a whole. You can listen to it like a complete story, so to say. But of course you can also... We made the songs, so we have to make the songs strong enough that every song can be played only by itself and still be a strong song, you know.
And for the record, because it's a concept album, or I would say there's always a storyline to follow, did you maybe as usual write all the music and then your singer went with the lyrics? How did you work? How did this album emerge?
That's the biggest difference on this album, because we never done before that we had a story from the beginning that we wrote music to. In the past, we always wrote pretty much most of the songs. We wrote the music first, and then our vocalist listened to it and come up with a story for that song. But now we had the story first, and then try to make music and piece that together with the story. Okay. So it's a different approach for this album than we ever done before.
Maybe you can emphasize, or for your a Swedish guy, maybe in Sweden, national speaking, how important is this figure of these young Vikings, this elite Viking squad of the past, not knowing if it was mythological or real.
Yeah.
How important is that as a national, in your national history, I would say?
It's not very important, I think, because the group of Jom's Vikings, they weren't really in Sweden. They're probably more located around the northern Poland then. But it was, of course, at that time, all the people living in that area, Scandinavia was not divided into these different countries at the time.
And I mean, you as a band or your singer, you write, or you read a lot of stories about Vikings, and then you pick story that you would like, and this one catch your eyes or your interest?
Yeah, I think our vocalist who wrote the story, he had them as a backdrop to the story. So it has a historical references, but the story is pretty much fictional.
Okay, but as a band, do you chat about that all together and then you write the lyrics, or
on this album, he wrote this story as a movie script, and it was after it was finished, then he thought, maybe I should talk to the guys if we're gonna make the next album a concept album based on this story. So it wasn't like we're gonna make a concept album and then he wrote the story. It was more, he wrote the story by himself just to see if he could write the story. And then he came to the idea that we should make an album to it.
Okay. If we come back a little in the past, if we take the Deceiver of the Gods period from writing, recording, the tour, is there one souvenir in particular that rise and would synthesize this whole period for you? Were there key moments or the top moment for you in this whole area for the City of the Gods? Maybe yeah. A show that strikes you, you're very happy, or you think the band reached a new level?
Yeah, I mean, we've done, for every album we have put out, we always try to take it to another level. And I think we have achieved that on every album. And one of the high points, I guess, on that touring cycle was probably the show at Wacken. It was a huge crowd and huge stage setup. And we always try to make also the stage setup a little bigger for each album. So we invest a lot of money in bringing the stage show up.
And with your experience, especially your live experience, you can still be surprised or positively amazed by a show or the crowd or the reaction of the people?
Yeah. Every night is different, you know. And that's what makes us, at least me, want to do this, because that's where I get all the good feedback and energy from to continue to make music.
Okay. Once again, coming back to the past, with the period of Versus the World, as a fan, if we read the interview, the band was shaky. It was a difficult period for you. We could even imagine that the band would disappear. Now, 13 years later, 6 albums later,
yeah,
you're stronger than ever. Now you're signed with a major Sony. Could you even expect to, during this difficult period, for the band to continue to rise and reach this point?
Yeah, I mean, the reason it was a difficult period was it was like the turning point where we had to decide if we're gonna have the band as a side project, and because at that time we had also regular jobs, and that's why the point where we decided now we have to go full time concentrated on the band, or maybe not continue the band, and everybody choose to put all effort in keeping the band.
So it was a risk for you?
Yeah, we took kind of a risk. I mean, everybody quit their jobs and just focus on the band completely. But it was a risk that was the right choice, because it obviously it worked. We managed to make the band grow ever since, and we never need to look back. And
you explained the success by the fact that all of you could focus now 100% on music,
yeah,
the business part, the promotion of the band, and not only do that,
yeah,
on extra when you have family and everything.
Yeah, I think that's something you have to do to make it really successful. You have to focus all the energy on the band.
Okay. So now you reached a new high. Do you have in mind that the fact that you may have reached the ceiling, or do you still have ambition to go even further, or you don't think that far and you take day after day?
Yeah, I think we can go further, of course. The ambition is always to have the band grow.
But for example,
I don't think we have reached the ceiling.
But for you to go more is do what? I don't know, tour the US and have a success there, to go new territories. What's your next step?
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much covered. We played everywhere you can play, basically, except Africa, and that's the goal for this next cycle, to maybe book some shows down in South Africa. I don't really know why we haven't done that before, but I know there's interest there, but we never had any opportunity to go there.
Okay. So now you're with Sony, which is a major. Sometime, from the fan point of view, when you deal with the major, you have to make compromise to go their way and not your way. One way or the other, especially from this album, one way or the other, did you have to compromise? Or
No.
You went up, you provide, that's what we are, you take, you don't take.
Yeah, that's pretty much how we did it. They didn't have anything to to say in the creative process of the material or anything like that. And also we're still actually signed to Metal Blade, but they take care only of the US market, and that's why we choose to have Sony take care of the European market, because they are so much stronger here.
Yeah, Metal Blade being your American knows how to manage North America, and Sony can and did you already see the difference with the past?
Yeah.
How the way you are worked in Europe?
Yeah, especially when we were like a couple of days ago, we went to Finland for a press trip, and on the last album, Deceiver of the Gods, they really didn't get that much notice about it was coming out on the last cycle, because Metal Blade didn't have a representation there. But now when we're on Sony, it was like everybody knew about it and was there to do interviews and stuff.
But for this, you provide the final product and then they market it?
Yeah.
Or so you manage everything yourself?
Pretty much.
If you finance it, maybe they'll...
No, the financing comes from the record label, of course.
And you think, with the modern day, that it's still the future of business, the traditional way, you're a band, you need a record label, and then you sell to your fans through the record label. You're aware of all the direct crowdfunding system.
Yeah.
Are you looking after that, checking that, seeing how it evolves, or you prefer to stick with the traditional way?
I like the traditional way, because that's what I was growing up with, and I like it to have like strong label support that can take a band from the starting point to reach a certain level. You can't really do that yourself. You can't go on tour for 2 months without anybody financing it when you're starting out as a new band. So I'm sure some bands succeed doing this crowdfunding and doing everything themselves, but that takes a lot more lucky shots, I think, to make that successful than to have the traditional way of you have the label. And also we like to put a lot of money into the production of the album, to go to a real recording studio and spend a lot of time there, a long time, compared to some upcoming new bands. They record at home and or in the rehearsal place. I think that's never... It's going to be hard to make that have the same quality as an album produced in the old school way.
Okay. And so in terms of recording, where did you go to record? And in terms of timing, how many weeks or months, or what was the timing frame for this new album?
Yeah, we started to make the music pretty much 1 year ago in January, and that's also something that we have the privilege to do when you're only concentrating on your only work is the band, and you don't have anything other. Then you can put down so much more time into the writing process. And that's what makes the songs really become strong songs, I think. I know from my own experience, I could never write a song. Like, some bands say like, yeah, we wrote 50 songs in 2 months, and then we recorded an album with 10 songs. But for me, I could never write 50 songs in 2 months. I can maybe write one song in a month, because I, you know, the 50, there's so many small pieces and parts that I just threw in the bin to make one song.
Okay. And so in general, I mean, when you record, you know, 10 songs, you have 10 songs ready.
Yeah.
You don't have lefts and bits for the next one.
All the small bits that didn't make it into song, they would never be on the album. Okay. It's just trash.
And so are you the guy to have, I don't know, tons of idea in your cell phone with just the idea you pop it in your mind?
No, because when the album is finished, all my ideas is used up. I don't have any ideas left.
Okay.
It's because when I start to write, I sit around in my home studio and just play and record stuff, and then once in a while you get some small little idea that actually starts to grow into a song.
Okay. Okay, I see. And so can you record during tours or during balance, or no, you need to focus, be quiet home or in your home studio to be able to be creative?
Yeah, for me, I can never write on tour. I need to be in my home studio environment where I can like lock the doors and only concentrate on that. I do it pretty much like a 9-to-5 job when I'm in that writing process. So it's like 5 days a week, you know, from the morning to the evening.
So you finish a tour, you take a few weeks or months quiet, and then you come back to your studio and then you work like if it was a daily job all day long.
Exactly. All right. But only after the whole touring cycle is over from the previous album. I never start to write like in between two tours. If it's like we have an American tour, for example, on this album, and then we have some days off, or maybe a month off, and then we have a European tour or something. I don't start to write in between those tours. It's only when the whole touring schedule for the whole album, that's maybe 2 years long, when that is over, that's when I can start to concentrate on.
When the chapter is over, you can then restart something new. Because you need that to refresh your mind.
Yeah, exactly. Because now my brain is like empty of ideas now.
Okay.
So I need to... Now the next cycle comes. That's the live performance. And that takes all the energy, you know. And I don't really get creative during that period. It's after.
Okay.
I need that time to start accumulate ideas in my head, I guess. And then I can start to,
all right,
try to write.
So with Sony, especially in Europe, we can imagine that you have more financial capabilities for the tour to come. So can we expect something, a bigger show, more flames, more drag cars, more everything?
Yeah, that's the plan, to make everything a little bigger. I wouldn't say Sony doesn't really have anything big to push into that department, because they only take care of the marketing of the album.
For the tours, it's...
They, of course, they promote the tours and stuff like that, but the money to build stage production and stuff like that, that comes from tour incomes.
So the fact of being signed, there would be no much difference between Metal Blade and Sony in terms of staging?
No, not really.
It's your decision and your investment?
Yeah.
Okay, through the touring company. Okay. Because obviously one fear can be, at some point, the band growing. Now we know that, I don't know, I suppose it's that also for Manomar, the fact that the band is living more on tours and merchandising than on CD sales. We can at some point consider that you will need to, for the whole system to work, to play in bigger and bigger venues, and not to be able anymore to go small. I would say to, are you still ready to find the balance between, I don't know, Sweden where you're huge, so you can play in very large venues, and some countries, maybe France, even if you, or maybe outside Paris, to smaller venue to be able to stay in contact with your
audience? Yeah, that's something we definitely do already. Because we always think of it like every show doesn't have to be a plus in the books, you know. We can do lots of small shows and lose money, but we see that as an investment in those areas where we need to grow. We need to go there and there to gain new fan base. Even if we lose money, it doesn't matter, because when we've been on those smaller places, then the fan base grows, and then next time we come around, maybe we can play a bigger place in the same area, and then we make it work financially as well.
Okay, so the key element is to it's an investment, and to find the balance, financial balance on the whole tour.
Yeah, exactly.
So can lose some money sometimes if you have bigger venues.
Yeah, I mean, it more looks like it's over the whole year. Yeah. You know, you lose lots of money here and there, doesn't matter. Here you make money, and then you lose some there, and you make, and as long as it evens out in the end.
So even when you're touring North America, you can be able to make a little money. It's still an investment because it's U.S., which is not maybe, I don't know, compared to Europe.
No, but nowadays we're pretty much at the same level here and U.S.
In U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can tour.
But
also.
We did so many tours in U.S. in the beginning that we only lost money. But then when we reach one level, then we start to make money instead.
Okay. So as you mentioned it, now you have your full-time musician, full-time in my
yeah.
math, which wasn't the case before Versus the World.
Yeah.
But do you already are thinking what's next? I don't know if you plan to play a Mark until you're 80 or whatever.
Yeah.
One way or the other, are you thinking of, I don't know, to do something else at some point, to move to tour manager or to help, but not producing new bands? Or are you still planning your retirement from, or you still want to, you're
yeah,
thinking
I mean,
day after day?
First of all, I'm going to continue doing Amon Amarth for at least 10 years more. And after that, maybe then I will start to think about some other stuff you can do. Maybe producing or something like that.
Right, right.
I would never go into being a tour manager. That's
no.
No.
You're managing all the problems.
But the producing, that's kind of my interest.
You've done that already?
No, but at home, when I'm recording at home, of course, that's not like a producer, but it's my interest. I have an interest in making music, and also I think I have some skills in the producing
okay.
department.
Yeah.
As well.
That's part of the trademark of Amon Amarth to talk about Vikings. One way or the other, don't you think it's you're closing your horizon? You're stucking yourself in this thing. Could you imagine being Amon Amarth doing something about, I don't know, the American Revolutionary War or something completely different, the Roman Empire, whatever?
Yeah. No.
Or it's so much part of the nature of the band that it will be Vikings and again.
Yeah, I mean the appearance of the band needs to stay in Viking environment, I think. But the lyrical themes, they can be pretty much about anything because you can always rewrite them in that kind of environment. So you can write about something on daily that happens today, but you just change it to that scene. But for the stage appearance, I think it would be very strange if we would have like cowboys and Indians on stage, you know.
that could be an idea. I don't know, for the 50th birthday
yeah.
of the band maybe.
But so there, in that department we're definitely sticking to the Viking imagery.
And don't you think the subject is so rich that you don't think at some point you have nothing more to say?
Oh, I think you can always find new stuff in there. There's so much in the Viking history that you can, I think you can never run out of ideas.
I don't know if you already talked about the Vikings discovering America. You know, we talk about Christopher Columbus, but obviously there were the Vikings before that. Maybe it's a way to link the Viking subject with something else.
Yeah, for the Indians and cowboys.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't have any drummer for a year. Is there a new guy replacing Frederick? And could it be Martin Lopez?
No.
Okay.
It's not Martin Lopez.
So there's a new guy in.
Yeah, I don't know. Did we talk about the drummer? No.
No, not yet.
On the album.
The previous guy.
We used a guy called Tobias Gustafsson from. He played in a band called Vomitory before.
Yeah.
He was hired to do the album with us. And because we knew him from for a long time, and he's a really good friend, and he's a very positive guy and creative. That's what we wanted to have for the album recording and writing. He was also contributing in the writing process. So he was doing all the drums for there, and he's on the album cover and everything, but he's not the permanent drummer. He was only on the album. So now we're looking for the new drummer that's gonna be like, first we're gonna find the drummer and start a tour with him to see if he like...
if he fits?
Yeah, exactly. He needs to grow into the band. It's not gonna be like an easy decision to, this is the guy and we stick with him. We'll have to feel it, you know, for a period.
And you already have a few candidates in mind, or yeah. A candidate in mind?
Yeah, we found one guy now that we have rehearsed with a couple of times, and we're gonna do more rehearsal when we come home from this press trip.
So he might be on tour.
Yeah, he's pretty much 100% the one that's gonna be on the tour.
Okay.
And then hopefully he will fit into the group and on a personal level, and be a permanent member in the future.
For his profile, you're more looking a guy well experienced with a lot of bands before, or you even a new guy but more on the technique level, on the on its creativity. What was the key element to choose one guy or the other, or just that you can have fun together? I'll tell you.
Of course, when we choose Tobben, he was the guy that instantly fits into the group, like on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And the new drummer, we don't really know him. We have never seen him before, you know. So the main focus on him now is that he's a very good drummer and can pull off everything. Because it's where we play very long shows, and it's a very physical task to be a drummer. And then, he's somebody we never actually met before, so we don't really know how he is as a person.
Okay.
So the main choice of him is because of his skills as a drummer, because we know he's really technical, he can pretty much play any band's music.
But your session drummer didn't have time, or could not he get involved as you what you expected? You knew from the start that he would be a new session drummer? Are you expecting
if it would have worked to have him as a full-time drummer, that would of course have been very good. But it was a lot of things that just wasn't
right.
Right, so it didn't work because of lots of situations.
Mm-hmm. A large part of the lineup did not change from 1992.
Yeah.
What's the secret of longevity or the stability within the band?
Yeah, I think it's when you find a group of people that really connects well in a way, that's the hard thing to find, people that can stay together for that long. And we managed to do that for 17 years without changing anybody.
And even if you're on tour, you're living all together all the time, and can be sometimes stressful or a pain.
Yeah, that's very... it's a very different life when you live everybody together in a tour bus for several weeks, you know. But we still have fun together and still hang out on tour, you know. I know some bands, like, they travel in different buses and they hate each other.
Oh, after a tour, they cannot see each other during 6 months or a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're still good friends in our band.
All right. And so just a little short questions, to know you a little more on your musical background or tastes. Is there one favorite song ever from any artist or any album you would keep, you know, on a deserted island? One song in particular you could listen ever and ever?
Yeah, maybe The Trooper by Iron Maiden.
Alright. What's your least favorite song from Amon Amarth?
From Amon Amarth?
Yeah, the song if you don't play anymore ever, or it's good.
There's one song where everybody in the band kind of jokes about, and that's the song Abandoned from Once Sent from the Golden Hall.
Uh-huh.
I think we played that live once. And it's pretty badly put together, I guess. It's just...
So you would have to rewrite everything and reorganize the bits?
Yeah, to make it work, yeah.
Okay. The first rock album you bought?
Peace of Mind with Iron Maiden.
Okay, the last one? That caught your ears, you know?
I don't know which one was the last I bought.
If you don't remember, and so the last question, was there a spark or something that make you want to become an artist, a guitar player?
Yeah, when I went to my first concert as a kid in a heavy metal concert, it was the Monsters of Rock in 1984. It was like Motley Crue, Van Halen and AC/DC playing this huge festival, and when I went to that show I was like, that's what I wanna do when I grow up.
Okay.
But then it took many, many years after that before I actually picked up an instrument and tried to learn the instrument. And that, I think it was when I started to listen to Metallica more. And then some parts in their music felt like, it sounds like it's not so hard to play a riff, because mm-hmm. it was more riff based, and so I wanted to try to play riff, and that's when I bought a guitar, and after that I just started to learn more and more.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.